Welcome to The View from the North Cove, a podcast covering all things North Cove Celtic. I'm your host, Kev. A big thanks to everyone for tuning in to us again, giving us a wee listen. The last time around we were with yous to cover the Celtic End campaign, we had Mac and Martin on that time. That episode was really well received. There was some mental numbers listening into that one, which was good to see, and I hope we all enjoyed it. Since then, we've obviously had a couple of the women's fixtures where we showed off, you know, what we were aiming for, and hopefully the campaign can grow some legs from then, and we can be back with you on the podcast for, you know, a wee bit more on that sort of stuff in the future. But this time around, we are back to speak on our annual anti-discrimination tournament, which we have coming up, and I'm pleased to be joined by AJ and Tino. Troops, big thanks for taking the time to come on and speak with us.
Thanks for having us.
So I think probably best way of starting, guys, is just to maybe bring one of these in. You can explain to any listeners, you know, obviously it's a massive turnout of the tournament every year, and it gets publicised on social media and stuff like that, but probably a load of folk listening and have no idea what it is. If one of these were to come in and just give you a wee kind of brief rundown.
The first tournament was in 2008, but really we need to go a year back if we want to find out where it all came about from. Essentially, one of the first members of the group, Johnny, he's contacts with a lot of the refugee groups in and around Glasgow, who'd been saying to him about wanting to have a kick about or play some sort of organised football. And Johnny had the brainwave to organise it all himself. And essentially in 2007, we ran an 11s tournament. An 11th league, I should say, with various different refugee groups in the Garn Gad. Essentially, they had no option because they couldn't get insured, essentially, to play any sort of organised football. We decided to run an 11th league during the summer. That was one game a week, essentially, with five or six different teams, representing different races and culture. We had teams from Cameroonian refugees, Somali teams, and this essentially gave us the idea of running a tournament where we would be bringing the population of Glasgow or Celtic supporters and bringing them into contact with communities they would normally not have any sort of interaction with.
I can remember those 11s games myself, AJ. I think I had the boots on. That was probably the last time I had the boots on, 2007. So you're saying then the 2007, I think 2008, we went into the actual tournament, which was first held in the Garn Gad.
So the Garn Gad, I think it was only a couple of years before. I'm pretty sure it was the Celtic youth team that opened up the cage up at the Garn Gad. If my memory serves me correct, I'm pretty sure it was Tommy Burns that brought a Celtic youth team to open up that cage. You've then got a regular open park next to it as well. And at that point, obviously, you know, we're just a bunch of random guys trying to organise a proper football tournament. We're borrowing sets of goals from here, there and everywhere, trying to borrow everything that we can and gazebos and all sorts, and basically just trying to bring these different cultures that nobody would think of coming together. And it was just all done on a whim. But thinking back to it now is pretty crazy, because you look at the scope of what we do now compared to back then. It's night and day, but it's from great things. You know, it's just such a small beginning to where we are now.
So the tournament was an idea. So basically, obviously, part of the fundamental part of the Green Brigade, obviously quite common in the Celtic, supports sort of anti-racist, anti-discrimination, because the club was obviously came from an immigrant refugee background sort of thing. So it was known to be a welcoming club. open to cultures and stuff. So it was basically a chance that the group had to bring these different people together, because the league that AJ's talking about, that was before my time. But my understanding was that it was more of a show up, play the game, and there maybe wasn't the mixing of the cultures sort of thing. So from my understanding of it, it was a chance to bring folk together all in one place on the same day, share culture, share music, share food, and it's all under the common sort of umbrella of football, and then obviously more specifically under the sort of name of Celtic. And I think it's just kicked on from there, basically. I can actually remind, I was still in school when I attended my first one, before I was actually in the group, and I can remind me and a few of the boys sort of making their way over to Royston and going up to Glenconner Park and getting talking to folk, and we're talking about booking the pitch and all that, and everybody was basically like, "No, we didn't know what we were going to do if we showed up and there was a game happening." Nobody didn't even check to see if the pitch was free. Everybody just showed up with gazebos and a barbecue and just started putting cones out or painting the pitch and started games and go and stuff like that. So I think this sort of organised chaos at the start was probably the humble beginnings. It's then led to a bit more organised, and there's a bit more going on, there's a bit more to the day, there's a little bit. It started off as that, like, I remember sort of realising how chaotic and how, like you just said, it was all a bit on a whim and sort of hanging it. But I think that sort of added to it as well. There was hunters going on, there was never a dull moment, sort of thing.
Probably a lot, just thinking back, a lot less, obviously a lot less teams and stuff participated, back then, but it was, you know, there was a lot of kind of community, as you say, DJ, different community groups and stuff, whereas now, you know, we've got a whole host of loads and loads of groups for, you know, within the Celtic support and stuff like that. But it just, as you said there, it just shows, you know, how much it's grown. And again, this one that's coming up, a wee quick plug, so we are, one of you will be able to confirm, the 10th of June.
10th of June. 10th of June, we're hoping for 12 noon kickoff. Teams will be there before 11:30, and then we'll crack on for there for 12 onwards.
And no longer at the Garngad, we are St Rocks, Jimmy McGrory's Park.
Aye, so it's up at St Rocks now, which is, need to get a big shout out to St Rocks, to be honest with you, because them offering us the sort of run of the place for a day has been massive for making the tournament, but it's where it was before COVID. This is going to be the first one back to COVID, back after COVID, just because dates didn't suit between Celtic having pre-season friendlies and St Rocks season finishing last year. So we obviously had 2 years off of COVID, and then the dates didn't suit last year. So this is the first one back, so we're hoping to come back bigger and better. And since the last time we had one at St Rocks, which I think was 2019, St Rocks have done the place up a bit as well. So even though that was good, St Rocks have made the sort of what's capable of happening, they've made that a bit better just through their own sort of upgrade of their facilities. So it used to be that it was a, we're talking about Glenconner Park, it used to be that you would show up with a carry out and every so often the police would go out and book folk and take the baby off them and stuff like that. But St Rocks have got that facilities, there's going to be free food, we're going to have a bouncy castle, we're going to have face painting for the kids and that. So it's a family day, there's going to be boys in the decks all day, so there'll be music going, and AJ's promised us some of the samosas that goes hand in hand with the tournament, I think. So if nothing else, get yourself down for some of them.
These samosas are infamous, mate, infamous.
I know.
And so just to, as you said there, we were Glenconner Park for a number of years, moved over to St Rocks. There's also been a sort of charity side to things as well. I don't know, Tino, if you're what to bring in.
So we've had food bank collections, and we had the clothes collections and the Invisibles, which is a charity that helps rough sleepers and homeless and folk going through a bit of a tough time. They've sort of benefited out of it in the past. We're going to try and keep that going this year. So if you're coming down, bring food, to bring maybe a sleeping bag, jumpers, old stuff that you can sort of, you might want to clear out the decent weather coming in. But there's been several charities that have sort of benefited from it. We've had links with charities, just as a Green Brigade over the last 10 years. I think we've helped out homeless charities, we've helped out refugee charities. There's been a lot of work went on, and then we just want to keep that in that sort of, keep that apparent in the day that it's not none of it's none like it's making clear that none of it's profit. Everything's going back into communities, going back into the sort of proper grassroots sort of football with all different cultures all coming. So even just in itself, just try to get the split between the Celtic teams. A lot of CSCs that folk will know are there, but then the split of like getting in teams for different cultures, including the Invisibles were represented as a team for years as well. Now that's not happening this year, but hopefully they can still benefit for the day. So if you are coming down, make sure to sort of tap into that side of things as well.
And the footballing show's actually not too bad, isn't it? Like the early days was a bit ropey.
Well, better for the ref walking about with a bag of cans.
I'll not name him, but he knows who he is. He was the only man I've seen like booking somebody well, a can of tenants on the other hand.
I think the quality of football's probably got a lot better in recent years as well, because one, teams actually come with it. I mean, we obviously organise this just as, you know, a day out, and it's a community day, but teams actually want to win the tournament.
Oh, and there's ringers.
The amount of ringers that are in the teams is unbelievable. Over the years, I know, well, we always had the year at Barrowfield, and we had the, I'm pretty sure the name was Afro Scots or something, but basically Islam Ferro's turned up. Now, he was a Celtic player at the time, Celtic youth player. And in the team, there was a Hearts youth player, there was somebody from Stranraer, and another team that I can't remember. And basically, we were told that they just like playing, they were all mates, and they basically like to play football together. And they ended up, somehow we got them in as a team. And with Islam, there's a clip I'm pretty sure is still on YouTube at the moment, where a boy from Celtic Minded try to half a 14-year-old Islam Ferro's, and he goes right through him, but Ferro's ready to tackle and gets away. It's brilliant, man. It's some of the memories over the years for us, it's just absolutely unreal.
I'm pretty sure that year that the ref was dropping a bit of a bag of cans, I'm pretty sure it was another Green Brigade that won their own tournament that year. Decisions going on that year.
That's my
On that, 2 weeks, well, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were at Hearts, I had somebody come up to me and goes, I still remember you gave a penalty against us in the semi-final and knocked our bus out in for the Green Brigade. I didn't even know the guy, but he remembered it all these years ago. It's just brilliant, man. I'm so glad I don't do the ref anymore. The amount of shite you get, man. Unbelievable.
I can imagine, mate. As you say, it's not just, you know, a great day and a great family day and stuff like that, but there is that kind of competitive edge to it now, and some good football and showing. So it has been a few years since the last one with COVID and obviously the venue stuff last year, but our previous, I should have done a wee bit more homework on here, but the reigning champs are, can you any of you remember? No?
I want to say it's Roll of Honour, but
Roll of Honour won it, I think 2018.
2018, so it was 2019, wasn't it?
Who won it
2019?
We'll confirm this. I'll get this tweeted out. It's been that long. It's been a shame for the obviously with everything going on that this is us back. But no, it should be good. And as you said there, it's good for everybody to come down. You know, bring your kids, bring your, as AJ touched on, sorry, Tino, the bouncy castles and different activities and stuff like that on the day, which will be good.
It's probably worth mentioning, obviously, the light ride of Celtic. So the plan was to have people for the actual team coming over from Palestine. But the day and the whole event and just the whole narrative that's going on now, this is sort of what we're trying to combat, is that the team were rejected their visas. AJ might want to touch on this a wee bit more, but I think out of 18, 15 of them were rejected their visas. But we're going to try and make sure that doesn't stop either Celtic and Palestinians and the UK in general being represented. I think we're going to try and get a call out there that anybody with links to Palestine or Palestinians that are living in and around Glasgow or want to travel further, you're more than welcome to come and represent the country, represent that sort of cause. It's obviously one that's close to the Green Brigade's heart, so it's making sure that we're not going to let that sort of hold us back to the fact that the sort of narrative that's been on with immigration and refugees now. So we're going to try and make sure that's sort of overcome. And I think we can basically confirm that there will be an Ada Celtic team there with some of the players, hopefully. But right now, we're not. I think it's all a bit up in the air, but that's all down to the Home Office and anything else. I think that's out of our hands.
I think, to be honest, at the moment, they're really struggling. So in terms of the 18 visas that were applied for, one organiser has got one. He's been over a few times, so they use this history to essentially accept his visa or give permission for him to come over. Two of the players, as far as actually one at the moment has been given acceptance to come over. There's three more that we're waiting on coming back, but the rest have all been rejected. And essentially, the reason is the same for all of them. The Home Office are basically saying that they don't accept that they'll go back to Palestine. We've provided, obviously, flights and everything, and accommodation all being booked and shown to the Home Office to say, you know, this is where they're going to be. This is what they're going to be doing. We've given an itinerary for the whole time that they're going to be here. But essentially, they're saying that regardless of all that, even had confirmation from sponsors here in Glasgow and Belfast, regardless of that, they believe that the vast majority of those that we applied for would have gone. And essentially, from illegal immigrants is what the reasoning that they gave. This is despite the fact that obviously these guys have all got families back at home. But the reasoning that the Home Office has given is essentially what we're all seeing in the news at the moment. It's an anti-immigration reasoning, and it's something that we need to fight back on. We're hoping with the other two or three that we're waiting to hear back from, if they're able to come over, we'll have the guts of half a team, and then we can hopefully make up to have some sort of representation for Ada Celtic. But it's all up in the air. It's a bit disappointing because this is something that's been in the work for a long time. We started the process of, you know, arranging these applications and flights and hotels back in November, December last year. And unfortunately, the way the Home Office visa application works is that you can only really apply roughly 6 weeks before you come over, and there's no appeals process. So once they reject it, that's it basically done. And obviously, when you're trying to organise for such a large group, you're having to book a lot of things in advance. So stuff like flights for 18 people coming over from Palestine, accommodation both in Glasgow and Belfast, all these things are just up in the air. It's really disappointing, but hopefully once we get things out there, unfortunately, we don't think it'll do much difference in terms of getting the rest of them over, but it's something I feel that, you know, we need to highlight going forward.
It's good to, as you say there, mate, it's good to use that, looking for, you know, maybe more representation for, you know, Palestinians living here to help maybe make up the team. It's good to use this platform as well and get, you know, get this wee episode out, because of some of the numbers and stuff that we've been reaching out to, it's been pretty good. So hopefully, you know, you guys delving into a wee bit more detail on that will help things on the day and the end of the day that this has been used to, you know, can either you dig out and come along.
And I would like let anybody that's thinking about coming down, the sort of narrative that you hear for the UK government and the narrative you hear for the media, come down and see different cultures mixing, and that's the day's a sort of act of defiance in itself, that come down, see different cultures mixing all under the one thing, all under football, all under music, all under food, all under everything mixing in together. And sort of challenging folk to come down, tell us it's a negative thing. So as we hear is the negativity that comes out in the media of it. We've not had a negative day yet. We've not had any sort of incident, any instance with folk, cultures clashing or anything. So whenever there is that common sort of crossover, then I would defy anybody to come down on the day and tell us that the sort of anti-discrimination view that we're taking is a negative thing.
As you said earlier, boys, or we touched on earlier about, you know, how the tournament's changed over the years and the teams have changed, and, you know, nowadays there's a lot more like CSCs and different things like that. But there was kind of teams that were there in the early days that were there every year. The Cameroon team, the Afghanistan team, that springs to my mind. But it's maybe worth covering that these teams don't feature as much anymore. AJ, if I bring you in, mate, you can maybe touch on it a bit better than me.
I think it's a testament to the springboard that the tournament has provided to these communities. The likes of the Cameroonians and the Afghanistan team that we've had, they haven't been at the tournament for, I think, maybe the last two or three times that we've ran it. But essentially, that's because these communities have now established a foothold in Glasgow and Scotland, and they're now putting on events themselves. So I'm pretty sure from like 2015 onwards, we've been invited to the Cameroonian team. They have started running their own football tournaments. They started running cultural events during the summer. And essentially, they're really busy throughout the whole summer. But the tournament essentially has given them that springboard where they've seen how things work. They've seen how to put on these types of events and given them the confidence to go and do that. The Afghanistan team, they were there from the start as well, and the Somalis as well. The Afghanistan team sent us a football invite as well. So whilst it's disappointing that they are no longer part, they are now part of the wider community in Scotland. And that's all been established from, if we go back to 2007, them just wanting to kick a ball about, playing in an 11th league that we just ran off the cuff, from us running a tournament, and now them doing their own thing in the wider community.
Maybe not a bad thing, mate. The Cameroonians were some big, big boys, man. Trying to get by the centre halves, man. They were
absolute units, man. I know, absolute units. It was always great seeing what teams would come up against them, and these guys were absolute. I don't know how anybody could play against them, to be honest. You're just throwing off the ball every time.
Some guy for the huddle board that's six can deep to try to run down the line.
They were a player shot one year, and I subbed in for him. I was glad to hear I was on the same side of him, but I had some job convincing everybody that I was for Cameroon.
So, as I touched on earlier, when we first opened up about the Celtic End campaign and how we had attended a couple of women's fixtures game, one of which was Glasgow City, and we actually had them, AJ, you're maybe better coming in, we actually had them featuring in the tournament once upon a time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was either the second or third tournament. We actually had Glasgow City take part. One of our members is a friend of one of the former players, and she brought along a team. And it was an eye-opener because before I was reffing that group, and I know they played Cameroon in one of the group games, and the Cameroonian team before the game kicked off came up to me and were talking about how it was unfair for the women's team to play against them and stuff, and that, you know, it'd be a whitewash, and, you know, all this kind of stuff that you'd expect to hear when coming up against a women's team like that. But what actually happened in the day was slightly different, because the Glasgow City took the lead. It was obviously short 10-minute games, and we were approaching the last 2 or 3 minutes, and all the Cameroonian fans up with the other families and sons and daughters, there was quite a lot of worried faces, shall I put it that way. They managed to get back in level terms. I'm pretty sure they won it with the last kick of the ball. But I think that year was really eye-opening for a lot of us in terms of the ability that they had. They were a really good, they're obviously a really good team now. They won the league 14 out of the last 16 years or whatever. But even then, such a great team. And it's been something that we've been wanting to do since then. Obviously, with women's football initially being during the summer, it wasn't really possible for them to come back. They're now obviously going semi-pro. But we do now have a women's team taking part this year as well. So I think that will be really interesting to see. So I'd encourage, obviously, people to get down and have a look to see what happens.
Perfect. And just to kind of round up, obviously we're out of the time as well, and going on a bit too long here, but we have maybe a wee rundown. Tino, I can bring you back in, mate, a wee rundown of sort of the other teams they'll be featuring on the 10th.
Aye, so there's a lot of names that folk will recognise. You obviously get the Green Brigade hosting it, and then folk were in the Green Brigade network, Ulster Celtic and North Cove. both having a team in there. You've got Huddleboard, Celtic Minded's got a team, and then CSC's like the Astari Plough, North East Boys for up in up in Aberdeen, Port Glasgow, Lisbon Lions, CSC, you've got Royal Honour, Govan Emerald and Johnny the Johnny Gal CSC. You've also got, which we've always had a link with, for a number of years we've had a link with a local team, and it's made up of local boys from the Gungad that come, just to make sure that sort of culture and that sort of area of Glasgow in itself is represented. But then going into the more community teams, we've got the Kano Foundation, which I know a lot of folk will be really familiar with. We've got Walk and Talk CSC, which I think we were just talking about there. Now, as CSC, we've got a couple of refugee teams, teams made up of refugees that are based in and around Parkhead. We're hoping to have the Ada Celtic, which we've already touched on. Southside Ladies are going to be there, so it's good to see the progression of the women's game and getting women back represented in it. And then the Air Train team, AJ, have I done well all right there?
That's what
I meant. That's how I left it to last. I was worried that we'll get the Air Train team coming in. So a good mix between just trying to get all sort of sections of society, as many as we can. We're just trying to get them all represented in there. But I think we're pretty happy with the mix that's there, and it's all mixing with folk all under the sort of umbrella Celtic. So hope for a good day in the 10. So even if you're just popping in there, if you want to make a day, just make sure you get yourself down there. It's going to be free food, face painting. Kev, we're going to try and keep you off a bouncy castle this year. We know that's a favourite. But there's drink available to buy in there, so just make sure that you get down, give it a wee go and come see the day sort of thing.
Oh, brilliant, boys. That's been great. It's gives it a good wee plug, hopefully. You know, the numbers that we're reaching on this podcast, a lot of folk have maybe not heard it and are free on the Saturday and up down. And just a big thanks to you two for taking the time. These will be busy guys taking the time to come on and speak with us. Just big thanks to everybody again for tuning in. And hopefully it won't be too long before we're back with you. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Kev.